I've had some thoughts on my mind that just seems to just lay hold and have not left. And I hope and pray that it's of the Lord. This morning, I'd like us to think about things that influence our life. You know, social media has this thing called influencers, people that you can watch and stuff to influence other people, other ideas, kind of create thoughts or get you to do something, motivate you to do anything. Well, the Word of God should be our influencer. It should be our main influencer. I mean, there's good influences. We have people that we know that were good influences on our life and still are. That's wonderful. But I guarantee you, if it is a good influence, there's some base root right here in the Word of God. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we read that the Lord says, we are the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be that salt of the earth, a seasoning influence on others. So basically, we're called to be influencers. Did you know that? We're called to be an influence. We need to be an influence, and we need to be a good influence. I've said it before, but it should go without saying, but if you're going to be an influence, be a good one. And if we're living our life according to thus saith the Lord, if this is our guideline, if this is our boundary that has been set for staying within inside it, brothers and sisters, we can be that good influence, that seasoning influence. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Iron sharpeneth iron. You ever taken that file and sharpened a blade with it? It iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Has a rubbing off influence, if you will. Let's be that good man. Be that good influence and sharpen others' minds, tell them, provoke their thoughts of reading the Word. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul writes, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. So as iron sharpeneth iron, we could be that good influence. But also, on the other hand, if we have evil communications proceeding out of our mouth, we can corrupt good manners. And evil communications entering in our ears on a day-to-day basis can corrupt good manners. There's so many things out there that's going to influence us. I mean, let's just be honest. There's so many things that does influence that we have to deal with, that we hear. Some of those things we wouldn't have to listen to. Some of those things we don't have to listen to. But yet we do. What are we availing ourselves to? Are we availing ourselves more and more to the Word of God or to the world? It's to provoke thought. It's to think about this. You know, I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. If you're convicted about this like I am so often, good. Let it be that driving influence. I need to be studying the Word more and more. I want to be that iron that would help and sharpen someone else. Be a benefit to somebody else. Like in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. We need to be that shining influence in some people's lives. We definitely need to be a shining influence here among God's people in church, in our families, wherever we are. We need to be letting that light shine out. Being that influence on others. Because in verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's one of those things we need to do on a day-to-day basis. Letting that light shine. Being that salt of the earth. Being a good influence on others. He says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Giving that light to be in the benefit to one another. You know, you may have to work in a place where there's not much love of God there. But if you're showing forth that love, you may be giving light to some people that are in the dark. And they may be able to see that. And they may want some more of that. They may even come to you and ask you. You know, you'd be surprised on some of the people that it has been a benefit to. You may have known somebody in your life that you thought, there is no way I'll ever see them in church. But because of your good influence, because of your shining light, because of your good works, later on they remember and they want to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Maybe that's been a good influence on them. And later, it takes some time. We're not all born of the Spirit at the same time, are we? But remember, even the unregenerate has a memory. That's why we need to be shining our light. That's why we need to be salt of the earth every day. No matter where we are. Even if you think there's nobody going to respond to it whatsoever, shine it out anyway. You ever seen it? You ever walked into a dark room and turned on a light? What happens? The darkness flees. Let's shine that light. The world is dark enough as it is. Let's not add to the darkness. Let's not add to the problems of the world. Let's see if we can help somebody. Let's see if we can be a benefit to others. We're supposed to love our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. And then love one another. That's what it's all about. Loving God and loving one another. If we're going to take those aspects, if we're going to take those and take them to heart, we need to read and study His Word so we can know what is that good will of God. If it's His will, it's good. You know, sometimes we'll watch a TV show or something, and it may be a show that I like, but there's things in the show that I don't like. Or it could be, you know, a movie that I like, but there's things in the movie that I don't like. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God, there's nothing in here that's bad. And if there is something that's saying it's bad, it's for our learning. Don't do it. It's a benefit to us. The best influence we can have in our life is reading this Word. Living our life according to thus saith the Lord. So as we began talking about the salt of the earth being that seasoning influence. You know, I love to put salt on my food. I really do. You know, sometimes I think I just need to have a salt block at the house and I'll lick it every once in a while. But it helps. It gives flavor. It gives that seasoning. It just brings other flavors out. And also, it's a preserving agent. Brethren, if we're living our life according to thus saith the Lord, if we're letting that light shine, if we're setting the good examples for those that are coming behind, we can be preserving a good life for them. Because the Lord is their helper. The Lord is their strength. Some people say, I don't want to have children nowadays because I don't know what the world's coming to. Remember, the same God that saved you, that has been with you this whole time, is going to be there for them. Amen. Doesn't matter what the world does. Doesn't matter what kind of circumstances there is. Even Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, yeah, there's different technologies, like, you know, there's different things. They didn't have cars back here, but people are the same. People are the same. So the same God that has delivered me thus far will be here for them. I need to be setting that good example. I need to be good salt and setting that good example. There ain't a seasoning influence on my family. I need to be the one holding that candlestick higher and higher, giving more benefit to my family. It's time for us to take the baton, if you will. Run this race with patience. We need to be running our race. And we need to be doing it by looking to Jesus. He's the goal. He's the prize, if you will. He's the example that I need to follow. You know, some people say, you know, you set the bar high. Well, there's no bar higher than Jesus Christ. Set that bar up as high as you possibly can. No, I'll never reach it, this side of glory. But if it's high enough, I'll be reaching higher and higher. We'll never get to the sinless perfection of this life. But we can do better. We can always have room to improve. There is. There's always room for improvement. So our good example, our best influence on our life should be Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, we are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He's given us His word. He's given us His precepts. He's given us His law. Let us follow it. Let us learn upon it. Let us use it in our day-to-day life. But remember, in verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Let us not lose our seasoning influence. Let us not lose our zeal to go forward and carry that baton, carry that candlestick, raise that light up higher, shine it out forth, be that good salt and good influence on others. Because I tell you, this is a dark world, and we need more people like that. I'm so thankful for the ones that have gone before that I've known for years and years, or the ones that are still here, but I still see them carrying that torch. Still going forth. And we sang that song, Faith of Our Fathers. I'm so thankful for the faithful ones beforehand. The good salt of the earth, good light of the world. God-fearing men and women that I've known in my life. I'm so thankful for them. Let us be more like them. Because if we're trying to be more like them, because they were trying to be like their Lord. That's our best example. Let us try to follow that example. Carry the light. And be more salt and be more of a seasoning influence on this life. May the Lord add His blessings to you.
Appreciate what's gone before us. Ask an interest in your prayers. I want to begin this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, as we go about asking the Lord for wisdom, leadership of His Spirit, asking to know His will and wisdom to follow it, and as we live our lives, if we try to be that salt and light, some people are not going to appreciate that. Those that do not have the Spirit of God, they have no love for God. They have no interest in the things of the Spirit. They have no appreciation for your salt and light. You ever encountered some of those folks? Well, are we so good that God did that for us? No. We have nothing of which we can boast. It's by the grace and mercy and love of our God. But that shouldn't hinder us from being that salt and light. Thinking about how it's going to be. As a matter of fact, because there are those who do not have that appreciation, and we never know when the Spirit of the Lord is working in somebody. And Brother Kenneth mentioned the fact that somebody that maybe you've known in the past that lived not being a salt and light of the world that he was speaking about this morning, and yet the Lord has mercy upon them, and now they love the Lord. You know, that's one of the shocking things about Facebook. I've connected with a lot of my people that I knew when I was growing up and going to school, and I see the Christian post that they're putting on there today, and I say, thank you, Lord. Because that's not the kind of person they were when I knew them. Isn't that wonderful? That God will have mercy upon us and bless us. Well, the Scriptures teach us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto them. Now listen, that's the truth of God's word. The things that we love and cherish so much are foolishness to them. But he goes on to say, neither can they know them. They can't, because they're spiritually discerned. And we would be in the same condition had not God had mercy upon us and blessed us with his Spirit. Now I want to read several verses. We'll go back a few verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, hope you found it by now, verse 12, Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, that tells you right there how it is that we are able to know the things of God. You know, the longer I live, the sweeter the grace of God gets to me. I need to add that. It can't be any better than it is, but I can sure gain an appreciation, a deeper appreciation for it. All of us can. As Brother Kenneth said, there's room for improvement. There's room for growth. There's room for appreciation of the grace of God. But it takes his Spirit for us to know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. You know, James tells us that in the book of James, he says there's two kinds of wisdom. There's that which is earthly and sensual and devilish, but it's wisdom. There's some clever devils in the world, right? But then he said, but that which is of God is first peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. The word of God, the wisdom of God. So, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that is the man not born of the Spirit, that man that all he has is his fleshly wisdom, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. From here, I want to notice several things, several principles that we find in the Word, a little bit like what we studied Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we talked about using the idea of paradoxes, two things that seem to be contradictory, and yet they're true. But I want to notice several principles. There might be one or two of those that I mentioned today, but I want to notice several principles with this approach. Thank God that he's blessed us to understand the truth of his word. Because as we go through these principles, each one of them is going to be foolishness to those of the world. And yet God has blessed us with a spiritual mind. He's blessed us with a desire. He's blessed us with his love and a desire to please him. And so as we notice these principles in the Word of God, we know they're the truth and they're good for us. But to the people of the world, maybe some of the people we work with, maybe the people we see on a regular basis, to them it might be foolishness. And I would encourage you, as you read the Word of God, that you bear that thought in mind. That this is God's word. This is pure truth. This is what is good for us to feed our soul, to instruct us so that we can be equipped, so that we can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, so that we can bring glory to our God. That's what Brother Kenneth was talking about. Let your light so shine before men that others may see our good works, but glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the goal, isn't it? To bring glory to his name. And so the more we learn about his word, the more we understand about it, and we know it's all the truth. And so the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the more and the better equipped we are to bring glory to his name. All right? Now, when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to following the Lord, we understand the natural man has no ability, no interest, no love to follow the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Oh, there may be something going on in some places, and we have occasions of this in the Word of God where the Spirit was moving and things were happening, and there were some that saw what was happening and they wanted to be identified with it, but they didn't really truly have the Spirit within them. That can happen. But when we're talking about following the Lord, discipleship, when we're talking about living our life and making choices according to the Word of God and refusing things because the Word of God tells us that we should do so. When we're talking about those kinds of things, we're talking about things that the world is not going to be following. And so every time that you are take a stand for what's right and choose, this is the way I'm going to live because this is the way God tells me in his word I'm going to live, you just might as well expect that there's going to be some that's going to, whether they outwardly oppose you or not, they're certainly not going to agree with you. Don't ever let that, you know, I don't realize we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but we want to be faithful to God. We want to live before him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. Let's go to Matthew 23. I'm afraid I may have be turning a little bit more this morning than usual, but Matthew 23. Because one of the principles I want to notice in the scripture, I guess we can just describe it as the way up in the kingdom of God is down. Now the world will look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, the world is going to say, well, now look, you know, yeah, I know that we start at the bottom, but we want to work our way up. We want to work our way to the top, you know. We want to advance. But in the kingdom of God, the Lord says the way up is down. Do you think the people of the world, the natural man, is going to receive that kind of thinking? But we do. We understand what he's talking about. And we know that it's the truth. We know that it's something that we should follow because it's what the Lord says in his word is how we should live our life. No matter what the world might say about it. All right? So Matthew 23. I'm going to go to several of these, so I'm just going to limit what we read here. Verse 11. Matthew 23, verse 11. But he that is greatest among you. You want to be great? You want to be great? You want to be great in this world? Or do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? I'd rather be great in the kingdom of God, wouldn't you? Okay, so here's a clue. Here's one of those principles the Lord teaches us. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Wow. I could just see some of the folks in this world say, what? What are you talking about? That's foolishness. Right? But in the spiritual kingdom, in the kingdom of God, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. All right? And here's where the way up is down. Verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself, see the way up is down? He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In other words, the Lord's going to bless. When it pleases Him, when He who looks upon the heart, He who's able to discern the very thoughts and the intents of the heart, when He sees that kind of humility, He'll bless. It's not an outward show. It's not a false humility that God will bless, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. All right? The world will say, that's foolishness. But God says, that's my way. That's my way. Walk in it. All right, let's go on. Another passage that speaks to this, Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Let's go back a few. Matthew 20, verse 25. Jesus called unto him and called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Okay? We're all familiar with that, aren't we? If you're in charge, you exercise authority. Okay? Happens all the time. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. Jesus is saying, that's the way they do it, but I've got something different for you to do. I've got a different way for you to live your life if you're going to follow me. All right? But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now, right there, he's not talking about your preacher, although the preacher needs to be a servant as well. The word there has more emphasis upon what's being done to ministry or to minister as it is the minister. The emphasis there is on being someone that ministers to others. All right? So he said, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Many in the world today would say that's foolishness. But that's God's way in the kingdom of God. We're not out to rule over different ones. We want to be of service to one another. We want to love God. We want to love one another. And the way we do that best is in serving one another. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So with the right motive, with the right love, with the right desire, we can do those things, and it's pleasing to the Lord, no matter how foolish it may appear to the world. Because as God's people, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. He didn't say one for another, but one to another. And the way you have that love one to another is by serving one another, right? These principles are powerful. These principles are fundamental. There's so many other things that the Bible speaks about, but if we can get this right, look at the impact. Look at the influence that we've heard about this morning. Look at the influence that it will have for good, for the glory of God, and for the blessing of those around us. These are so important. We need to major on this, don't we? Okay? Loving one another, ministering to one another. He goes on to say, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, it wouldn't do any good for us to shed our blood for anybody, but we can give our life for others. We can live for others. We can minister to others because of what Jesus did for us. That's our big reason why, isn't it? Because of what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus, for Christ's sake, we do these things for his glory, and it'll result in blessings to us. The world is going to say that's foolish. But bless your hearts, that's God's way. And that's the way we want to live, isn't it? To have that influence on others. And so these principles go directly against the grain of the flesh, you know, and the pride that the flesh has. All right? But this is what God says. This is what God says will be good for us to live this way. It's for his glory. It's for our blessing. It's good that we follow the word of God. These principles are very powerful. They're what I've already described to you is a powerful element of discipleship, following him. So what I want to notice about this being a servant, you know, if he that would be great, let him be your servant. It's not a matter of, well, you're going to start there and work your way up to being great. No, what pleases God is when we stay a servant. That's what's great in God's eyes. The world wants to say, well, you know, the world might say, well, I understand you need to start there, but then you work your way up. No. If we're going to be a servant to one another, if we're going to serve, then God is pleased for us to remain in service to one another. That's what's beneficial. That's what's helpful. That's what's good. That's the kind of light that we need to be setting forth, that we're willing to serve one another. All right? Now, let's notice some of the things about how God values things. Obviously, in the kingdom of God, God values things differently than the natural man, the things that are in the world. As a matter of fact, Luke 16:15 says, the things that are highly esteemed among men are abomination with God. So that ought to cause us to pause, you know, and the subject matter that Jesus is speaking about was some Pharisees that were covetous. And he says, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination with God. Wow. No doubt there were some of those Pharisees to whom he was speaking then that had some valuations about what was important. But, you know, the Lord rebuked them on a number of occasions for being like whited sepulchres. They gave the appearance of righteousness, but not inwardly. It was only for show. And you know how many things in the world today are done for show? God looks on the heart. God knows the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. So, along those lines, let's notice a few verses of Scripture. The first principle I want to notice is that in the Scriptures, oftentimes we find that the Lord says the rich are poor. The rich are poor. That is what the world, what the natural man values in this world, which God says abomination to him, yet they put so much emphasis on it. They'll put so much time. They'll put so much energy. They'll put so much resources in working and going after those kinds of things. And the Lord says, the rich are poor. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, when the Lord is addressing the church at Laodicea, You know, in those seven churches of Asia, in Revelation 2 and 3, we find that the Lord addresses each church. He commends them for something that's good about them, and then he tells them what the problem is, and he gives them a remedy for it. But when he's addressing the church at Laodicea, he says, "For thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Wow. You hear that? That's a church. The Lord is charging them that here's their attitude. We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Do you know what the Lord said about that? Remember his estimation of that? He says, "And knowest not that thou art poor and wretched and miserable and blind." I might not have had that order just right, but that's what he told them. Wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Wow. Look at the great gulf between what they said their condition was and how the Lord appraised that situation. The things that are highly esteemed among men are abomination to God. These things are foolishness to the things of the world. They think one way, God has his better way. Okay? So, he speaks here of how that the rich are poor. But if you back up a little bit in the book of Revelation, when he's addressing another church, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, he's writing to the church at Smyrna. Listen to what he says to Smyrna. He says, Revelation 2, I'll begin in verse 8. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Well, who can that be? There's only one that can be, right? That's the Lord. Of course, you know there's red letters there. If you've got a red letter Bible, you know who he's speaking here. But he goes on in verse 9, he says, "I know thy works." That's a true statement. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." Wow. What's your mental assessment of those brethren by him saying that? "I know thy works, thy tribulation, and thy poverty." Obviously, they didn't have a lot of this world's goods, right? Not only that, but they were struggling with some tribulations. The world would look upon that and say, "Those poor, poor souls." What did the Lord say about that? We got a little parenthetical expression after the description of them of being. He said, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." The Lord says, "But thou art rich in the things that matter, in the things of the kingdom of God, in the things that God looks upon, and he always gives a perfect assessment," right? And what he says of these brethren who were in tribulation and poverty as far as this world measures things, the Lord says, "Thou art rich." The poor are rich in the kingdom of God. You believe that? Many in the world would say that's foolishness. No, it's God's way. Now, he's not you know, I mean, obviously there's good things you can do with wealth. But the estimation here, these brethren were in poverty, they were in great tribulation, but the Lord comes to them in these encouraging words, "Thou art rich." So we find elsewhere in the scriptures, Matthew 5 and 3 is the Beatitudes. The Lord says there that blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, theirs is the kingdom of God. Think about that. The poor in spirit. See, we're talking about spiritual things. And what we're talking about here is those who are trusting God, those who have the Spirit of God within them, those who have the love of God within them, who are looking to Him, knowing that He is able to take care of their situation. Just like He said at the Church of Smyrna, "Thou art rich." The Lord has power to provide all that we need. And so as we think about these principles, the world would look upon that and think it's a sad situation. But I'm telling you, if we're leaning and depending upon the Lord, trusting Him, looking to Him for all that we stand in need of, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. God is able to provide. And when we've got the Lord on our side, who would say that you're not rich? He's able to supply our every need. You know, His storehouses are full and they're never going to be emptied. We have endless supplies of grace from our God who is able. The world will look at that and say, "That's foolishness. That's nothing." But bless your hearts, it's everything to us to understand who God is and the love that He has for us, the mercy He has for us, and the care He has for us, and all that we have in Him. It's everything to us. What a blessing that we can, or what a blessing that by the grace of God, we're able to see these things. Because without that, we would be one of those saying, "That's foolishness." We're blessed. We're blessed. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." He goes on to say, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." Doesn't that illustrate what we're talking about this morning? God has His way, and it's right, and it's perfect, and it's good for us. But the natural man doesn't perceive that. The natural man doesn't understand that, and the natural man's not going to live that way. And neither should God's people, who are blessed to know and love Him, neither should God's people go the way of the natural man. We want to serve the Lord in the kingdom of God. And so we realize that as we do that, and as we try to have the best influence that we can upon others, there are those that are not going to appreciate it. But having that understanding, there's other passages that it helps us to know when we encounter those, like in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, if you're listening to this with natural ears, you're going to say, "How could that be?" But listen to what James says. We have the greeting that James gives in verse 1, but this is verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." The natural man would look at that and say, "Wait a minute. Count it joy when you fall into temptations? But if we understand that there's many things about the kingdom of God that are different from the world, and when the Lord gives us in his word, when he says, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, at the very least, we're going to have to say, Lord, I need some understanding here. This is the truth. And if I don't understand it, Lord, please help me understand what you mean by this. Okay? Well, keep reading. You know, that's one of the ways when we've got questions and we don't understand something, maybe we just need to keep reading for a while. Because God's word is a thorough furnisher. I heard a minister say, when somebody was talking about checking this commentary or that commentary and what this commentator says about it and what that commentator, and it might have been the old Sonny Pyle or someone else that said, you know, the Bible sheds a lot of light on those commentaries. The Bible interprets itself. It is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. What we need, God has provided in his word. All right? Now the world, the natural man, will say, well, now you need to seek some kind of psychologist, or you need to go to the wisdom of this world, some kind of experts or whatever. But God tells us how we need to live our lives. Okay? So, when he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, he says, knowing this. Oh. He's going to give us a clue to how to understand what he's saying. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Anybody here need some patience? Yeah. But it's not like God's just going to open up your head and drop it in. We learn a lot from life. We try to follow the Lord, seek his face and his loving counsel, and when we're facing decisions. And he does bless us. But sometimes it's line upon line, precept upon precept. Now what Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon line upon line, precept upon precept, little by little, here a little, there a little. But when our focus is wanting to please the Lord and understand his word so that we can be that influence that we're supposed to be, that we can live that good life that we want to live for not only ourselves but our families and friends, if we're desiring to know more of how to live before God, we have a promise in his word. There's a couple of promises. One, in Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're diligently seeking to understand his word, you have the promise he will reward you. But he said diligently seeking. And sometimes we don't have the patience to do that, don't we? You know, we live in a day where everybody says, give me the short version. You know, give me the short message. I don't have time for all this other. But I'm going to tell you something. When you read, that's why we need to read the Word of God on a regular basis. Because I don't find the short list too many places in this word. But it is a thorough furnisher. And God is so good to show us what we need in his word. All right? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. That is, it's a maturing process. We're strengthened. We grow in it. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. As we patiently endure, as we serve the Lord, as we look to Him, He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. God is with us. He'll watch over us. He'll provide for us. He'll give us what we need. Let us be patient as we face the temptations in our lives. The reason we can count it joy is that if we have the Lord with us, if we're blessed to understand that the Lord will provide for us, that He'll not leave us nor forsake us, that we're His child, and He is well capable of supplying our every need, then bless your hearts, we can face those things in a way that's pleasing in His sight. All right? Now the world will look at that and say, how in the world can you count it joy? And yet, if we're trusting God, you know, just to feel that the Lord's with us, just to feel that His presence is with us as we're going through our troubles, there ought to be a joy that we find in that. All right. So that's one principle. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12? When Paul speaks about that thorn of the flesh, he concludes that passage, or there's a verse there in that passage where it says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Do you think the world's going to believe that? The natural man is going to look at that and say, that's foolishness. But we understand what the Lord means by that, don't we? That when I am weak, that is, when I'm not trusting in myself, when I'm not lifted up in pride, when I'm humbling myself and coming to God and asking Him for the help and the strength and the wisdom and the grace that I need to face this trial, when we're in that condition, then He gives us the strength that we need. And His strength is unlimited. How many times have we tried to go through the struggles of this life in our own strength? That's what the world will tell you. Be strong. You're going to rise above it. Well, I'm all for encouraging people, but I want to encourage folks with truth. I want to encourage folks that the strength that we need is of the Lord. The Lord told Paul, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. If we're strong, if we're feeling strong in ourselves, if we're lifted up in pride, we're not going to be seeking the Lord's help the way we should. We may be saying the words, but we're not seeking the way we should. But when we realize how weak we are, when we realize how much we need the Lord, when we realize how loving and merciful and gracious and able that He is, and bless your hearts, then when I'm weak, it's then that we're strong. The world won't have that, but I'm thankful God has blessed us to understand that. And I hope that we apply that on a daily basis. You know, it's one thing to know it. It's another to show it, to apply it, to put some feet to it, to put it into practice. Jesus said, if you know these things, and I realize He was talking about the subject there was feet washing, but the principle applies. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. All right? Now, my time's gotten away. I want to give you one more estimation. I really want to pause and consider this for just a couple of minutes here. Do you remember the widow that cast in her two mites into the treasury? You find it over in Luke chapter 21, those first four verses of Luke chapter 21. I think I'll just have to read that. Luke 21. What we're talking about, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Well, I'll show you another principle that the Lord points out that to the world would be absolute foolishness. And yet, in the kingdom of God, it is absolute truth. Luke 21. He, Jesus, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Okay? And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. I understand that was the smallest coin in their culture that day. Two mites. And he said, of a truth. Well, if the Lord said it, it's going to be the truth, right? But he's teaching us something. Of a truth, I say to you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. You believe that? Do you believe that her two mites, in God's eyes, amounted to more than all that those rich men cast in? I'm glad to see some nods. How can that be? How in the world could two mites be estimated in God's eyes as more than all that those rich men cast in? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you understand it and you don't have to. But I want to drive home that point. Do we, and let me put it this way, does our life reflect the kind of values that would coincide with what the Lord taught in this lesson? Could someone look at our life and our set of values and what we esteem and what we strive for, and would that line us up with this widow who with her two mites cast in more than all those rich men? You see, it's very evident, isn't it, that God's way of evaluating things is very different. You know, there was probably nobody there that day except Jesus that made that kind of an evaluation. You think that's safe? That nobody else there would have made that statement. Everybody else there would have seen the value of that money going in or seen what was being put in there, and they would have said, that two mites is nothing. What are we going to do with that? Think about it. Now, let me get the rest of this. Verse 4. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. In that passage, the first time poor is mentioned is one word, which could mean poverty, but you're able to work and supply for your needs. The second time poor is mentioned in that passage has reference to abject poverty. That the only way they would receive anything is perhaps if they begged. They didn't have, not only did they not have the resources, they didn't have the ability, they didn't have anybody or any way to provide for themselves. They were absolutely dependent upon God. So Jesus said, those two mites that she cast in was more than all that the rich men had cast in. And he said, for they cast in of their abundance, but she has given all that she had. You see what the Lord's measuring? The Lord doesn't care about dollars and cents. He cares about how you use them. But he's not bound by any of that. Again, the Lord looks on the heart. Can you imagine the faith, the trust, the commitment that this woman is making by casting in everything she had? Wow. Now the Lord says she hath cast in more than they all. Let me make a point here. The treasury didn't receive more from her than the rest of them. That's not the point, is it? So it wasn't the treasury that received, but it was how she gave that God said is more than they all. We've talked about a lot of things this morning. The natural versus the kingdom of God. How that the man of the world, the person that's not born of the Spirit of God, as far as these things we're talking about, they're foolishness unto them. They don't understand it. They can't understand it. They don't have the Spirit. I get that. I understand that. My concern is, how about God's people? Do we have the mind of Christ? Do we have the heart to line up with these Christian principles that we're being taught? May God help us to cast in, you know. So with this widow, it wasn't the dollar amount that was cast in. It was what she gave. It was in her heart to give all that she had. What I'm trying to highlight is the desire she had, the trust that she had for God, and her willingness to do in service to God. May God help us to examine our hearts. May God help us to examine ourselves against kingdom principles and not the things of the world. God looks on the heart. He can discern the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. May God help us to walk in sincerity and in truth, loving the things of God, doing that which is pleasing unto Him, seeking to serve one another, thereby serving Him and bringing glory to His matchless name. May that be our desire. I know that there are plenty in the world that won't receive that. I'm not concerned about that. I want to be a good influence before others, and maybe if the Lord's working in their heart, maybe they'll want to ask some questions. You know, that thrills my heart when that happens, doesn't it, you? When you see somebody that's lived one way and then all of a sudden they begin to ask. They begin to inquire of the way. What a blessing, privilege that is when we're able then to talk to someone and share these Christian kingdom principles. It may be foolishness to the world, but it's our life. It's our joy. It's the bread that we need each day. It's what we need to live before Him in a way that's pleasing in His sight. May God bless you is our prayer.